Hello there. Welcome along to the Sport and Life podcast. Teddy Draper here, sports broadcaster in the UK. I hope you're well. Thank you for hitting on the button. Thank you to the sponsors, Bang & Olufsen of Cheltenham and Serene AV, who are specialists in some of the finest home entertainment brands, providing solutions based around high quality customer service and installations. Get in touch with Jason Briggs in person in his store in the courtyard in Montpellier, or look up Serene AV online. Get in touch that way, give him a call for a quote, whatever you're thinking, any ideas, always a good man to speak to. Thank you also to Cytoplan for the ongoing association with the podcast. If you're looking to optimize your immunity, Cytoplan, which is a food-based supplement company that we've been taking their supplements for 20 plus years under the stewardship of my father, Dr. Mark Draper, who's been on the podcast. And if you would like a discount with the podcast, go to the checkout at cytoplan.co.uk. And the discount code is Draper10R, my last name, D-R-A-P-E-R, all capital letters, numerals 10, and the capital letter R. Now, do you ever wish that you'd recorded a loved one's life story, just conversations with them, the details, but also the flavour of that person, their personality, their particular recollections, their unique character, I suppose, because that's something we're trying to capture in a project called Attic Box Audio, where I use my 20 plus years of speaking to people as a journalist, interviewing if you like, but mainly really just a conversation. I use that experience to sit down with members of the public and document their life story, about 1 hour to 2 hours kind of conversation, and very anecdotal, very relaxed. But if you want to find out more, head to drapermedia.co.uk and look up Attic Box Audio through our hub website. Finally, if you're looking for a pair of shoes, Herring Shoes, very kindly, that I wear and enjoy, have offered 10% off with the podcast, and the discount is TED10 at herringshoes.co.uk, T-E-D, all capital letters, numerals 10. Now onto the podcast, really fascinating conversation with a well-travelled, still young man, Valerio Zudas, who came to my attention when he was at Hibernian FC in Scotland, but has travelled around the Europe, speaking most of the languages everywhere he's been as well. Really fascinating coach. He's been at Sheriff Tiraspol most recently, leading them to the title and cup as an assistant coach there, and he's a fascinating guy. So here he is speaking from his home in Croatia, is the one and only Italian Valerio Zudas. Valerio Zudas, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
All good, all good. Good morning, Teddy. Thanks for hosting me.
Well, thank you for being here. Really, really appreciate it. I know you've had a busy year because you were at Hibernian FC in Scotland up until January, and now you've just won the league with Sheriff Tiraspol in the
Yes.
How's it been?
It's good. Now we just came back home a few days. We had a great season. We won the league both and the cup. So we even performed pretty well in Europe. Unfortunately we lost the eighth final in Europe Conference League against Nice, but we performed well against one team that has a better roster than us. So was great.
Yeah, what's the pressure like at Sheriff? Because they're kind of expected to win the league, are they? I think since the year 2000, they've been the dominant team in Moldova.
Yeah. This is the 21st title for them in 25 years. So, of course, the expectations are huge. So you need to lead the league. But this year was a bit difficult because changed the format of the playoffs. So all the teams start from zero. So you have only 10 games. It's like starts a new league.
Yeah,
and you have to win again. So you start from zero. So it was a bit different. And all the team, you know, against Sheriff, they have some teams that have bonuses if they win against us. So they have, you know, so everyone played the game of their life against us, and it's like a final every Sunday.
Your manager is an Italian guy too, right? Is that correct?
Yes. He previously was in Sheriff. 5 years ago, he won two titles and one cup there.
Yeah,
5 years ago, and then he came back in January, and I joined him.
And he's managing Moldova.
Yes,
he's managed Moldova as well.
Moldova,
yeah,
Moldova national team. Yes, and in between he was in FC Baku in Azerbaijan.
Oh wow! Oh cool. So you've been traveling a lot as well. Tell us about your journey over the past 5 to 10 years, because it seems like you've been across Europe and speaking many languages.
I'm a gypsy. Yes, I was. This is the eighth country that I coached. It's really fantastic. Not only to change the country to this is I think like 16 or 17 different managers for all different nationalities. All this country, and I saw that all the country, the cultural impact has a big effect even on the football side. So depends even this how they play in the pitch is really related to the culture where you are. It is something really interesting that I'm still digging into. So I even here they have different, especially in the East Europe, that is different from other the top five leagues. So I found it really interesting and really I add something more every year.
What are the main differences in the culture? How does the culture affect the football training and the team?
It starts from, for example, it depends from methodology. When I was in Georgia, for example, they had the big influence from the Russian school. For example, the methodology, the training was all I don't know, 2 hours training. If you train less than 2 hours, it's not training, it's not good enough. There's no intensity. And they was used to was in the pitch 2 hours for the training every day. It's not they didn't feel it. And one time the captain came to us and asked them, can we train, can we do a little bit more, because we know it's 1 hour 45 we say in the pitch. Well, how much you want to say? No. They do a big volume on the training session. I remember if you do less, and then we okay. In the end, you have to deal even with these things. Even about how they live the football. For example, in UK, that there is sometimes there is the day off in the middle of the week. In the middle of the week, in Italy, it's not possible to put a day off in the middle of the week. The sport director will come to you immediately if you put a day. But this is all about the culture, the intensity of the training, the organization of the manager.
Well, how's that for you? Because you've actually studied, I know you've been a strength and conditioning coach as well. You studied not only coaching, but the fitness, the physiology of it. Because
At
you
the
must
very
be thinking you need rest as well to recover. How difficult is that for you when they're saying train us more and do more work?
I'm more tired than the player at the end of the day. But yes, of course, at the very beginning, I started as a strength and conditioning, and I found it really to deal with all these little aspects because every country and every region has its own school, especially about the physical side. So I don't know, with the Russian school, for example, they have big loads, a big volume of trainings. Maybe the Spanish one is totally different. So they are more related to the football side. Everything is about the coordination and all these things. So was this is was the first big impact when I started to go out of Italy.
What the military stuff, the Russian stuff you said, is that military style training in Georgia that they do? Is it kettlebells, things like that, the Russian influence?
When I was in Georgia, there was a lot of stuff like this. There was a lot of stuff like this. But okay, we of course we tried to focus more on the football organization. I was there as a system manager, and I remember the league was really good players, really technique. Even now the Kvaratskhelia that is in Naples is. But not only him, a lot of Georgian players are really good technically. The speed of the league was not amazing.
There used to
Was
be a guy that played for Man City called Georgi Kingsladze when I was a boy, and he was a fantastic team, very good dribbler of the ball, incredible technique. Yeah, played for Man City
They
in the
had a
90s.
lot of great players. I'm now okay. Everyone remember, I don't know, Arshad Arveladze or Kaladze or a lot of good players that played in the top leagues in Europe, but. They have really good players. Is really a market where to go to see and check the players because they produce a lot of quality players.
What else have you studied? Because you've studied the fitness, the body, you've studied the mind as well, and you've studied emotions, haven't you, as well? Tell us about what you've, because I looked at your
Yeah,
CV.
sure.
It's really interesting. You've looked at football and life from every angle.
Yes, I think that as a manager, everyone has to be prepared on all the area of the game, of course. So from the physical, the mental, of course, the tactical side. So Yes, I study also that, and I found it really useful when I started to do the individual player development, organizing with the managers. Sometimes the when you have to work on some player, you don't work on just as an integration or as a supplement, as a unit or as a technique. The supplement can be also a chat with him, even in the lunchtime or for a coffee. And you always living outside the pitch. What does he think about? What are his expectations? What is his goal in the life? So, even some deeper things that affect directly, even in his style of play and even in his attitude in the daily in the training. So even this, I think, is the chat and to keep the relationship continuously daily with the players is something that they can feel them really involved and be part of the process. If not, it depends. It's like you work in the post office and you go and then you finish and you go home. Okay,
So
enjoy more.
you need to involve the players. You need to ask the players what they want and what they like.
Absolutely, there has to be one emotional connection and the reason why are they doing that. They need to know why are they doing that. What is the goal and what is their personal expectation? That has to be clear because if not, they have some gray point during the season when the things are not going well because it's normal. They have to remember their goals and their expectation.
Is that something you learned in Italy, or is that something you learned traveling or studying? Because it's interesting when I think people think of Italian football, they think mainly of tactics and sort of rigid structure and the catenaccio defense, and they think of it as being very non-emotional in a sense, as a kind of a very logical way of defending, particularly.
We are really we are a really great school on this style of play to understand the details and how to stop the opponent. In this, I can say that we are a master in this. But not the developing about the emotional side. I is one even personal journey that I'm still doing across the Europe. So it's something that it never ends. It's not and you cannot learn in school. Of course, it's a subject that I'm really interested in, so both in university and even in the master that I did in at Johan Cruyff Institute in Holland, there are this kind of subject to study. But it's something that really personal. That everyone has his own approach, and if you recognize in it, then you cannot split yourself as a person and as a manager, or at least I can't do it. So I'm the same. It's not too much stress.
When you look at the best managers, the most successful managers in history, do you think that they have that emotional understanding? Is that something you can see across the different managers? I mean, I think maybe people, Ancelotti, people say is very good.
I really like him, and not only him, but if you hear anyone speaking about Ancelotti. Players, the sports director, owners, everyone. There is no one that can say he is bad. Everyone loves him, so I think that is the most important thing because he really leaves something to the people that which he works with, and that goes over the football. Of course, you can win trophies and titles pushing player or having different approach. Everyone has his own, but I recognize myself in this kind of approach. To be really something that it goes over the football, and that's why we do this sport. It's not we do something else.
I think you're from Roma. Are you a Roma fan or a Lazio fan? I think you worked at
Oh,
Lazio.
don't mention me, Lazio, please. But I'm Roma fan, but unfortunately, it went not so good. The final cup in Europe.
Well, what do you make, what are your thoughts on Jose Mourinho then, in terms of how he behaved? Because it feels like he burns really bright at a club and he gets everyone together, and then sometimes things start to break up a little bit after a period of time.
I consider him one of, I think, the master of communication in the football. It maybe is the first manager that gives the importance of the communication and on the media side in all the history of the manager. I don't remember one like him. And he's really clever because he always has the right words to say in the right moment in everywhere he goes. So in Rome is a really difficult environment to work with because is the city, the expectation of the city are huge. The fan base is unlimited, and to bring a trophy in Rome after a year, international trophy after years that the Rome wasn't successful, I think is a huge achievement, a huge
Yeah.
achievement in Conference League and last season and the final achieved this year. But on the approach, okay, maybe something I'm not recognizing in his some behavior maybe goes over the line, but of course the personality is that. So
Yeah.
when you appoint him, you know that his personality. But as a fan, all the fans absolutely love him.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
Well,
they show up funny.
it feels like sometimes he's got the passion of a little boy in the sense that he can't stand losing, he can't tolerate. Whereas
He's
some
clearly.
managers seem a bit more, as they get older, they get a bit more relaxed with it. But Mourinho, it feels like it hurts him as much as it hurt in the
No,
first day.
he was in the midfield when there was the penalty for the AS Roma. The referee didn't give. He was literally inside the pitch. Maybe okay, as a manager you have to be, but okay, is the passion, sometimes the passion of the fan when you are in Rome, it goes through the manager and then go,
Yeah, that
go.
must have been interesting for you because Roma lost to Sevilla in the final of the Europa League in Budapest, where you've worked as well in Budapest. What was that
I was
experience like?
in the same stadium on the first official game of the Puskas Arena, the inauguration. I won the trophy there in the Hungarian Cup with Homed. Was great. Was really good. The first trophy was a really great feeling with all the guys. I'm really strong connected with any one of them. Every time I go, I see them, and even with the club, I'm really. Great relationship, but unfortunately this year they relegated after a lot of years. That was Honved was a historical club there in Budapest. It's the second one after Ferencváros. I was always they are the biggest rival alongside the Budapest. And now to see this season was unfortunately they relegated after a lot of years.
Yeah, do you think there's do you look at the history of Hungarian football as well? Because they had the Magyars and they beat obviously England heavily at Wembley, I think 1953, and that was a famous Hungarian team, and they had the philosophy.
I know Marco Rossi, the manager of Hungarian national team, personally, and he really made a great job. Personally, I used to look at his the game against England. I really like the back three settle that he made. So it's really something that I studied in the last year and a half. A really well prepared manager, and because he really deep went inside the culture of Hungarian football, not only with Honved. He was there 2 times. He did great club, winning the league after a lot of years with Ferencváros, as you know, are bigger budget and bigger possibilities in the league. But then even in the national team, he made a great and a strong base, and a lot of players of the national team are playing now in the top league in Europe, especially in Germany. So he's really doing a great job, and I think he's the most successful manager that the national team from Hungary had from the time of Puskas.
Yeah, and Puskas was that history in Hungary is big with Puskas and the great players that have come from that country. What's amazing is I look at your LinkedIn bio and I see not only the places you travel to, but the languages you speak. How important is that? Because that's sometimes something that lets British people down because we speak English and then everywhere we go, people speak English to us. So it's difficult to get that.
I was really to be fair, I was because in Italy not everyone speaks English well. I was really struggling with English now during the year, speaking with the people and with the colleagues. I improved, so I apologize if I do some grammatical mistake. But then in Spanish, because when I played, I speak fluent because it's similar to Italian, and also I played with Argentinian players, Spanish, so it's even easier for
Is
me.
that easy or is it difficult sometimes? Because I know people have tried to learn Italian and they know Spanish and they find it they get confused sometimes between they use
To
the
me,
Spanish word or the
no,
Italian
to
word.
me, it's easy. No, to me, really, it's easy. And then Romanian, because it's also a Latin language. And when I was there, I learned it comes easier because it's always the same. It comes from Latin, so in the end, was really similar even that to Spanish and Italian. And then my wife from Croatia, so half Croatian even in the house. So it's
Is Croatian similar?
no, absolutely no. It's really hard and still learning for the kids, but
Yes.
will be tough. I also when I speak, I mix sometimes the languages. So It
That's
was
impressive.
amazing.
But how much energy does that take for you to learn a language? Or have you got a tactic now that you use to learn a language?
No, it's a process, natural. We're speaking with people, television, songs, or watching television, games, everything you see every day, and it goes into you in the subconscious. So in the end, you after
Yeah.
1 year, you speak. You don't know why.
Does it get easier to learn a language as you move, as you go? If you've learned more languages, does it get
Yeah,
easier for
I
you?
think yeah. For until now, yes, was hard Hungarian. Even if I went to school there, but it was really hard because they have to say the same word that they can say in 10 different ways. And even if you go 10 kilometers out Budapest, they speak totally different accent. So it's
Really? Is it
yeah.
different? Is it very different to German, or do people in Hungary speak German as well as Hungarian?
No. It's a different language,
No.
but they have some common sounds. But to be fair, even I'm not the best one to say you that because
No, because I know in Austria, I think they speak German and Hungarian in Austria. So I think there's,
yes.
yeah,
They are yeah.
there's a connection. Oh, it's really cool. And how important is it for the players and maybe the staff at a club, like the people who work at the club, who work in the canteen, the cafeteria, that you make an effort to speak their language when you go into the culture?
No. This is, to be fair, was one of my main points because now in the dressing room you find when I was in Cyprus we had on 25 player we had 20 different nationalities, 20 on 25.
Wow.
So we have for every all the languages and all the cultures. And I was used to translate to the guys from South America, from Spain, for the manager. Sometimes even if it's someone, for example, in Moldova, they speak when I'm in Sheriff, it's part of Transnistria, so a lot of them speak Russian, but someone is from Moldova, they speak Romanian also,
Okay.
so I can communicate even in this way with them.
Well, that's amazing. And that must be, that's a big thing, isn't it? Because do you think that's why British managers haven't traveled abroad that much, is because they don't speak the language? We know Terry Venables went to Barcelona in the 1980s,
British
1990s.
manager, yeah, maybe this is a great point. This is a great point. British manager are really talented, and now I mentioned my friend Sean, but is when I worked with Iberia, but I had even the possibility to work with Cameron Toshak in Cyprus.
Yeah.
And they have great ideas, but the language is sometimes, especially even in UK,
Yes.
if you speak with someone from, for example, from Edinburgh, speak different from Glasgow.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
struggle to understand people from Glasgow because of their accent is really strong. So sometimes for players from South America that maybe they don't have great attitude with the English language, can be difficult to understand. So sometimes you need to speak slowly to catch something. But it seems stupid things. But in the end, if you have to explain one set pieces or something fast during the game, it's something that you really need. Because the great communication, everything is clear, and they don't know what they do.
How did you like being in Scotland? What was that like living in Scotland and working in Scotland?
Absolutely, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. How they live the football. I have a lot of friends there. How they really everything is the passion that is like because it really goes with the passion. It's one of my main things. When I
Yeah.
see passion in the football, I really love it. And I had a really, even if I was there in Iberia 4 months, 5 months, but I really enjoyed that period there.
What's
One of the
your
best experiences that I had, to be fair.
opinion of the Scottish League then? Because people say it's just a two-team league, but you've got a passionate team at Hibs and Hearts, haven't you, as well? But then, we can say in England at the moment, Manchester City are dominating. So it's, every league has a strong team usually.
Of course, since 100 years like this with Celtic and Rangers, but there are teams that in the last year they reduced the gap to them. So I think that it's not just about the budget. It's not only about the budget. With ideas, with the organization, you can fill this gap also. In the end, there are now in the last year, Hearts went really close to them. Aberdeen, Hibernian years ago with the victory of the Scottish Cup. So I believe that in the next year will be better, will not be as in the past. Of course, the focus is on the budget. With bringing better players, you can provide a better football and better results, but it's not always like this.
What do you think about the style of football? Is there a best style, a tactic, or is it that you have to adjust your tactics to the players who you have? So we say some managers have a philosophy of football and they go in and they try and do the same philosophy in every club, whereas some managers change according to the players that they have. How do you see that equation?
I believe that it's all about the flexibility and to understand the environment where you work in. So you cannot come in the restaurant with a sandwich from home. You don't know what are the characteristics of the player, the characteristics of the league. You really have to make a deep analysis of the league, of the player that you have, how they played before, how they're used to play, what you want to achieve, and what can fix the request of your character. So, for example, we went in Scotland, and we saw that is the first league in Europe for long balls. First league in Europe for long balls. So every long ball, because there is the culture of the man to man, of the two defense man to man when we arrived there. So every long ball was something that can be one chance for the opponent, because it's 1-to-1 every time.
Sure.
So we have to adjust and make one strong zonal setting, but really pure zonal setting.
Yeah. And do you need a sweeper? Because I don't know, the sweeper is the famous Italian thing, right? To have a defender who comes behind and sweeps.
No, not that. But okay, we need to think about that. But if we made we achieve also in the period in charge the second best defense in the league after Seat. That was a huge achievement because we competed two teams in front of Rangers. But if, for example, if we made the same choice in leagues as Premier League or in La Liga in Italy, that there are a lot of players that plays in between the line, that is the critical part of the zonal setting, we probably couldn't achieve the same result. So you need to be flexible. If we go, we cannot defend and organize the job in the same way if you go in another country with another team. On that, we had great result. On another place, maybe no. So it's all about to understand the characteristics of the player, the place where you work, and so.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because when I look at it, people credit, they give praise to Pep Guardiola for bringing this passing game, from people passing out from the goalkeeper through the defenders all the way forward. But then sometimes you see a team that tries to do that, but isn't able to do that, isn't possible for them to do it, but they give the ball away and then they concede goals. Do you think there is no right or wrong? Sometimes you have to go play the long ball rather than try and play it in your defense.
I don't agree. Guardiola, I think he's one of the most successful manager, and it's not true. He really changed since Barcelona that they went, okay, Guardiola, play tiki-taka. It's not true at all. Because he changed, followed through Bayern, and now in City, he always is as difficult to recognize what his teams wants to do. He doesn't have the fixed patterns where to play. Okay, they will play like this.
Yeah.
They all are really flexible and to understand the timing and to read all the situations. So you can really can't predict what they're going to do. And this is one of the main characteristics that in the last year, especially in City, but he started this process in Bayern.
And he changed with Haaland. Did you notice the change since he's had Erling Haaland, that he's changed the team around having a big, big strike? Yeah.
Exactly. The first process that when you remember Philipp Lahm in Bayern, he started to put the fullback. Is one of the first that started to put the fullback in the pitch to enter to make a rotation with the fullback inside the pitch to play also as a number six, as a midfielder. Sometimes he goes even to score. So that's a start. That process that now is the sublimation arrived with Manchester City, that you don't really understand which role is which player. So I think that this is the future of the football. I think not to stay in the position, and is doing really great. And I don't agree of the things that everyone wants to build up. But was a goal, I think Haaland scored when there was a long kick from the goalkeeper.
Yeah, against Manchester United in the FA Cup final on Saturday. Yeah,
Why do I have to start my action in 10 meters from my goal if I have one man free 70 meters from my goal that can go to score? And not necessary. So remember, our goal is to go to score. It's not necessary to play 50 meters from my goal.
And I suppose if you can... And if you can do both or do multiple different options, then it makes it more difficult for your opponent, doesn't it? If you can, if they don't know what you're going to do, because say for Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool team, they were very good at pressing Manchester City and they had a lot of success, but then Guardiola started to go longer because he realized that he had to change it. Yeah.
It's all about time and space. When there is no time, maybe it should be one is sure and one is not sure. So every time change, time and space. When there's no time, maybe there is space. So if you will play against one team that goes high press, of course they have to defend 50 meters of depth. And it's harder when the ball goes up for the defenders to run back. So if you put there, every time they have to run. And then we'll see. Maybe if they're faster defender and they can do it for 90 minutes, it's okay.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating, the whole thing. And that what you're talking about, the ability of players to change positions, how important is it now for the coaches who work with children, young boys, young girls, to make sure that those players are capable of playing in different positions and that they're comfortable with the ball and that they can do different things? Because traditionally it was almost like kids had positions early on, didn't they? Certainly in England, I think in Holland with Ajax, it was different, the total football idea that kids were having to play in different positions. But how important is that to not lock off a player as a defender or attacker, to say to a young boy or a young girl, you should play in all the different positions?
Yeah, it's really important to experience all the role, of course, because the kid, even they grow up, even physically. So one role can, even for physical reasons, they don't fix that role the year later. Maybe they play midfield, and then they grow up, and then they cannot play in the same way, with the same speed, with the same agility. So it's really important they experience all the role. And they can see the pitch and receive the ball from different parts of the pitch. So they can relate and be connected with teammates in different way. So to receive, if you are side, we receive ball through you. If you are midfield, you have the pitch in front. If you are defense, if you are play on the side, you have another vision of the view of the pitch. Is important for them, for their development, of course.
One thing I wanted to ask you about was the trend in the UK, in England in particular, with the Premier League, is to have a lot of young kids coming into academies. There's a big net they put over young kids, but then 99% of them aren't going to be professional players. But then when they get released by a club, where they get let go at 15, 16, there's a big disappointment, a sadness. And sometimes they haven't necessarily studied at school as much as maybe they could have done. How important is it when you're speaking to young people who want to be professional footballers that they also have other areas of their life? Because you've done a lot of study at university, you know how important that is to be educated.
Yeah, this is a problem common, even not only in England, even in Italy we face this problem in the last years. I think, yes, it's important that they have, I think it's all about how the culture change and how the new generation are raising. Before was different, was better for on other point of view. Was now with the technology, they have a lot of possibility to connect each other much easier than us years ago. But maybe there was more possibilities to plays to play for example in Italy, especially in the south of Italy. Think about Rome, Naples, or you know, so they play in the street. They was playing the street 12, 13, 14 hours. Of course, their skills, they're used to the physical effort and the motoric. It was all much easier than before. That's why the question. There are not anymore the players that go 1v1. Because before you play in the street 3v3 with the car that was passing.
So they've been coached too much. There's too much coaching. Yeah, in a
there's
way.
Too much coaching. Yeah. There's too much coaching, and this can be one of the reasons even. Because the kids leave, because some of them is stress after it became a stress for them, the training session, and they're not allowed to play free, so some of them are not enjoying. I discovered that, speaking even to the kids of my friends, my colleagues, they don't really enjoy because there is too much early tactics that is not useful, because they didn't develop yet that part even of the brain to understand when and what they have to.
But how important is that even for professional players? Because what you're talking about there is that intrinsic motivation, the joy, and then it becomes extrinsic because you're getting paid, it's a job. But how important is it to keep that joy even as players become professional and they play? Because it seems sometimes that that players lose that a bit, and that may affect their performance if they're not doing it for the joy of playing as well.
That's a big point. This is a really big point, because when you arrive at in the elite level, the focus is all based on the result. Yeah. But you don't have to allow anyone to lose the joy to football, because you are, in the end, you are playing football. Is a privilege. You are doing this as a job that you were playing the kid in the street, and you was dreaming to arrive here. Yeah. Now what? You are stressed about what?
Yeah.
So I always try to remember, even the approach of the staff, of the managers, to be the one. That's what I was saying before. Emotion has to be a pleasure to come to the
fun.
To enjoy yourself, to stay together, to train, to improve yourself, and then easy and consequently will come on the pitch in the game, in the official games. This joy, you can see the teams that are happy to play and the teams that are not happy. Sometimes you can recognize them.
Yeah, and you see players this week. Zlatan Ibrahimovic retired at the age of 41, but it felt like part of his secret to playing so long was that he seemed to just enjoy playing football, and he'd try outrageous shots from different angles, and he just seemed to be like a little kid in a way, playing even in his 30s, having fun.
One of my favorite players just retired. Yeah, but he's also about his unbelievable physical skills and
yes.
flexibility that is not common for 1 million.
Yeah, from karate, is that right? He did karate, yeah, I think it was
martial arts. Also yeah. Other martial arts, yeah. He really enjoyed to play. You can see him in the players that really enjoy the football. You see them that they this kind of play. They're not simply play football. They really enjoy. They have fun when they play. And you, that's why also a lot of them they like Messi, Ibrahimovic, even Haaland and Mbappe. You see they are happy. They are happy. They always smile.
Yeah.
So that's what you. Even as a manager, it's your responsibility even to let them feel happy, not just as a normal job, to remember them that it's a privilege.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see that joy, because even as a journalist, when I ever go to a football training ground, you always get that little boy inside, you get that excitement, you see all the football pitches and you think you want to run around and just kick a ball. And it's great when you see players who are, you know, at the top of the game, elite level, but are also still happy. How difficult is it to identify talent sometimes when you're a coach? Because I had a man on the podcast called David Webb recently, and he was talking about Wilfred Zaha, how he found Wilfred Zaha playing. And obviously he's a Crystal Palace star. He played for Manchester United before. He's very kind of charismatic. He's got his own skills. He's a dribbler. But he says that when he went to Crystal Palace Academy initially as a young boy, Wilfred Zaha, they called up David and said, he's not good at any of the drills, the passing and the grids and all the tactics. And he said, well, have you played him in a game yet? And they said, no. He said, play him in a game and see how he gets on. And they played Tottenham Hotspur in a game. And apparently he scored 6 goals in a 6-1 win. And it's because he had that freedom and that dribbling skill, but they didn't see it in the session when it was, you know, doing the passing grids and stuff. They didn't. How important is it for a coach to look and try and identify that talent? Because it may be that a player comes late when they're a bit older that they find them.
Yeah. No. It happens a lot of time. And this also is about the experience of the coach to recognize what there are some players that in the training are off really. You can understand how he's playing there, who signed this player, is look how he trains. And then in the game, they read their other players. So, and all depends about their mental status, how they live the training, the week, how they live the game, or maybe what freedom they have. Even sometimes a chat with the player can really change his season, his career. Simply chatting with him and explaining how he's more comfortable to do with you, understand what player is. Some player maybe having the freedom and not put them a lot of infos, they can give you the best, even in the part that you would like to them to give, no? If, for example, I think about auto-possession. You ask someone to give that. You give freedom to do what he wants in one area, but then you expect better in the same, no? In the opposite. In possession, auto-possession, and he does the same, just only giving freedom in this one. So it's all about, it's really about the person. It's really all about the person first, then the player.
Yeah, like a switch. So when you don't have the ball, you're conscientious, you discipline, and then when you do have the ball, you can be free and unpredictable and spontaneous. Did you see that in Jack Grealish at Manchester City, that he's changed under Guardiola, that defensively he does his job, but then when he has the ball, he can be creative?
He's really a great game changer. It's really was really good Guardiola to put him in this context of the group, the team, and he's really even not only with the skills of the ball, not because this because of my culture in Italy, I always focus always in the out of possession most of the time. So it's how they behave even without the ball and far from the ball. So it's really disciplined even far from the ball. When in our situation of high press, he stays in between. He understands when to call, when to mark, when to attack, how to attack, which speed. He's really disciplined, and I didn't expect this in this short period of time. So this is, I think, is the biggest job. Apart the of course his skill as attacking player.
When I was younger, it was like there was sometimes a team would have one player that was allowed not to work as hard because they were so talented. I don't know, being a Roma fan, whether Francesco Totti was he in that category? Did he have to work as hard, or did he get freedom to maybe rest a little bit when he didn't have the ball? Or has that changed now in modern football?
I was not present in the training, but this player, I mean, as soon as they receive the ball, something happening. They are like the game changer. So you keep them on the pitch, you know that something will happen.
Yeah.
But now, of course, in the last years, the football changed, so you cannot. You have to be involved with all the 11 players in both phases. So it's more dynamic the game than years ago. So especially in Europe, so the requests even physically and mentally it changed a lot. And some players maybe that were good in the 90s, they struggled then in the end of their career. Not only about physical, the skill remains, of course, but.
Yeah, like Cristiano Ronaldo left Manchester United. They said that Erik ten Hag wanted him to work harder than he could work at 37.
I followed the, of course, as everyone from the media, what happened, but I don't know what's really happened.
No.
I think he's a champion, but the manager at this year, the club made his choice to not continue with him, but.
And as you get, you get older, your legs have less energy.
Of course. At 37, you are not the same as 22. That's psychology.
No, that's very true. What's the biggest challenge for a coach mentally to get a player to play well? How do you get them in the moment and not being afraid? Is fear the big problem for a player when they go onto the field to help them get away from fear and worrying about the future or what might happen, the anxiety?
Yes, this is support that doesn't have to come only from the manager. I think even from other side, from family side, from all the environment. That's why to build a safe environment for them is really important, because the big pressure and that is around now the elite players is huge, and some players really struggle. Even talented player, national team player, player that competes at the highest competition in Europe, they really struggle mentally when there is this big pressure. So this is what we was speaking about before. It's really important to daily to understand how they feel in the training, if they are enjoying, what do they think, to involve them in the process, to be really grounded to the process, because as soon as it's like a bubble, you are like in a bubble when you are in a football club. Whatever is outside is really sometimes it's really tough, because it depends even where you go. For example, I was in places that if you draw 0-0 at home, you cannot go for coffee the day after.
Oh, really? Because the fans are so angry. Yeah.
No, they are especially here in Split, for example. So. It's not if you do great, this is about the passion. If you do good, you are you can do whatever. If you do bad, the first people pushed from this are the players, so they cannot go around. They start to start to receive big pressure. So it's really, as a manager, what you can do is make them feel comfortable in everything.
that pressure's always been there in the streets, hasn't it, in football, with going back 100 years. But what's new now is the social media, the internet. How difficult is that for players? Do you say to players, stay off your phone, don't go on social media after a game where you've lost?
No, it's up by them. You know, of course, it's up by them. Everyone, they have their own life. There are not rules outside.
Does it affect them, though? Does it?
Yeah. They affect it. Maybe was before the same pressure as before, but was in the social media. Now in the social media, everyone can make a comment. Everyone is frustrated, maybe from their own life, and they put it on the players, or they put it on the manager, the spotter. Like, why do you do this? You do this, and not good enough. I'm saying something nasty. The words are much worse. But you cannot. This is part of the game now. So what everyone is allowed to do this. So we have to deal even with that. So it's from us to give not importance to these things. It's part of the game.
Yeah, fans sometimes forget it's supposed to be fun, don't they? They have the passion, but then sometimes if they lose a game, it ruins their life.
I'm a fan as well. You're a fan as well. Yeah. We all are football fans. So when the whole thing ruins, who doesn't curse someone or something in the future? Everyone. So it's normal. We know that it's part of the game, and we live knowing this.
So you're at Sheriff Tiraspol. Are you going to stay there for a while? How do you see it? Or is the dream to be in Italy again? Coach Roma, is that the dream?
In Italy only Roma. No. I'm now actually one year more contract there in Sheriff. Okay. We should start the Champions League qualifying now in June, and then let's see. Now in 12 we should start. So let's see what will happen then. One day maybe I wish to come back in UK to coach. For me, the football is there. I'm really a fan of the English football, so I hope one day to can arrive to coach there.
How strange is that? Because when I was a boy, it was Italy. The Serie A was the best league in the world.
1999 was the best league. Yeah, it was the best league.
Had the most money.
Then it moved now to it depends. It's golden period. Now it's in England. No. I really love the passion, the history, the fan, the organization. Everything is for me. The main target as a coach in your career is to coach there in the Premier League.
I love it. Well, Valerio, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks to you for hosting me, and thanks for your time.
Fantastic. How can people follow your journey? What's the best way? Because is LinkedIn the best way for them to follow what you're doing, or other social media?
I have LinkedIn and Twitter. Sometimes I post what I do, where I am, so they can follow me there. Not angry fans, please. Only.
And you can post. And also, you could obviously speak different languages, so you can post in Italian and Portuguese, Hungarian, and all the languages.
Whatever. We can communicate. There's no problem.
Yeah. Well, I'm really impressed. I think it's fantastic. I think your journey is really impressive. And especially, as you say, you've got some time off now to be in Croatia with your family, but you've done all this traveling around to different countries and learning and being a family man as well. That's difficult. And, you know, I'm really impressed.
I have to go to the supermarket, 1,000 things. My wife is shouting. So.
Yeah, so now the work begins in the summer. This is real work.
Behind the show, the backstage.
Yeah. Well, Valeria, thank you for your time. Appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thanks to you. Thanks to you. Ciao, Daddy.
What a fascinating young man as well, particularly with a family back in Croatia. Now an Italian gentleman. Do hope from personal side maybe gets that move back to Italy soon. But really inspiring that you can move around the world, learn those languages, have that drive. Maybe born out of necessity, because he says there Italian people may not be as lackadaisical about learning languages as English, as well, certainly I am. I know a little bit of Spanish, a little bit of French, but certainly not enough to work in those languages. So really impressive, and some theories there around coaching, the importance of the psychology and tactics as well, how it all blends together into making a good team, making a good player. So I really appreciate that. Making a good person, I suppose. You can extrapolate things, hopefully, from that conversation to wider life as well. Making things fun, enjoyable. I think whenever they're serious, it makes it more difficult, doesn't it, in a sense? And you can see that. And it's sad when you see sports people lose that joy, that intrinsic motivation which drew them to the sport, that magic, if you like, in the first place. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please rate it on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you may be listening. Just tell a friend, that'd be great too. Thank you to the sponsors, Bang & Olufsen of Cheltenham and Serene AV, specialists in some of the finest home entertainment brands, providing solutions based around high quality customer service and installations. Remember, if that rings a bell's the expression, isn't it, with you around Attic Box Audio, if there's a loved one you'd like to have their life story recorded in their own voice, relaxed conversation, but just the details, particularly their childhood of growing up, the significant people in their life, and just the flavour of the essence of that person, then check out Attic Box Audio project we started with my wife Carla and I in lockdown. Head to drapermedia.co.uk for that. If you're looking to optimise your immunity, remember cytoplan.co.uk, food-based supplements designed to digest as food would be. Cytoplan.co.uk, discount code is Draper10R, my last name, Draper, all capital letters, numerals 10, and the capital letter R. And if you're looking for some shoes, Herring Shoes, British company, fantastic since 1966. Beautiful range of particularly loafers, brogues, that kind of thing. And the code there is TED10. At herringshoes.co.uk, TED, all capital letters, numerals 10. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Have a great week. Hope to speak to you again soon. Bye for now.